Thanks for joining the HigherTech.org podcast, where we provide thoughts about the use of technology in higher education. My name is Keith Komos, and today I'll be giving a brief 5-minute introduction on accessibility issues and guidelines. I plan on diving into a few topics related to accessibility in the coming months, but for those who don't know a lot about it, I thought a brief primer might be helpful. So let's start with a definition. In the context of technology and higher education, accessibility means that everyone, regardless of disability or special needs, can get to, use, and benefit from your resources. It involves doing as much as you can to make sure that your resources are usable to those with physical, visual, auditory, or cognitive disabilities. This is an important area. According to a U.S. Census Bureau report released in July 2012, nearly 1 in 5 people in the U.S. have a disability. A 2001 survey in New Zealand found the same numbers. That's a huge segment of the population, and with numbers that huge, accommodating these folks goes beyond good practice and it becomes a necessity. There are potentially millions of people unable to use your services. It's important as an organization to show concern for your users, students, and patrons. Improving accessibility has numerous other benefits as well. A site that follows common accessibility principles is easier to use for everyone, and your search engine rankings can improve as well. And consider this, in some instances, accessibility isn't just good practice, it's mandated. At various government and government-funded organizations, having resources that aren't accessible isn't an option. For these organizations, Section 508, which is a government issue standard on accessibility, comes into play. But even without the law breathing down your back, if your online resources have poor accessibility, you're risking a lot. The goodwill that you work so hard to build with your outreach efforts and the credibility that you tried to build with your instruction efforts and technology can quickly evaporate if a large group of people find themselves unable to use your website. With all of the choices for higher education that exist, it can be a factor that results in students seeking educational opportunities elsewhere, despite all the great resources that you have to offer. Basically, your resources don't mean anything if someone can't use them. So let's now briefly discuss two of the standards that you can use to help guide your accessibility efforts. The first one I already mentioned was Section 508. This is an accessibility standard put forth by the U.S. government in the Rehabilitation Act of 1973. It provides guidance to government and government-funded agencies on how to structure application front ends and your web ecosystems to account for people with disabilities. These are great guidelines, and their use isn't just limited to government agencies. Private institutions and large companies also adhere to them. These standards can get very detailed and specific, and they're very helpful, especially in regards to how to use JavaScript effectively. So it's definitely worth taking a look at that, even if you aren't a government institution. The other one is WCAG, which stands for Web Content Accessibility Guidelines, and that's another one to be aware of. It's more popular in industry than it is in education, and it's very similar to 508, but it takes a few things a step further, and it's a tad more rigorous in some areas. So please be aware that fixing the accessibility issues of your web applications goes beyond following a standard or a checklist. When addressing accessibility, it's important to understand how folks with disabilities use the web and the various tools that they use. This will lead to a more comprehensive understanding and show us ways that we can implement accessibility standards effectively across web resources. These things go beyond the scope of this podcast entry, but there are different tools that you, as a content provider, can use to assist you with this, along with some simple coding practices, some ways of looking at navigation and information architecture, some different approaches for different media types, different ways of implementing responsive design and ensuring cross-browser compatibility, some specific techniques that can be used to fine-tune your experience for specific types of disabilities, and implementations of newer technologies like ARIA. The main thing is that you take a comprehensive approach to this. Come at your web content from a variety of different standpoints, using a variety of different tools and devices, and make sure that they all provide a smooth and pleasant experience. And that's our introduction to accessibility on the web. As I mentioned, I'll be diving deeper into several of these topics on the blog and in future podcasts. In the meantime, if you have questions about this topic, feel free to shoot me an email at keithcomos@gmail.com, or you can use the comment section on the website. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on the HireTech.org blog and podcast.